All right, good morning again. I'm Jennifer Tooker, Westport Second Selectwoman and Chair of the Reopen Westport Advisory Team. We have a brief agenda, but probably will generate a decent amount of discussion this morning. And just to remind members of the public who may be watching, we are doing our business in public, but we're not taking a public comment through the meeting, but you can always email reopteam@westportct.gov. And many people are, so please do contact us at that email. All right, I think I'm going to jump straight into our agenda item number one, which is overview of the state of Connecticut's health metrics and preparedness indicators prior to our phase one reopening, which starts tomorrow on May 20th. And maybe just as an introduction to that agenda item, Governor Lamont, from very early days, as he talked about hoping to gradually reopen the state economy, he referenced some health metrics and what I'm calling preparedness indicators that he said he would be looking at a state level as we get closer and closer to a reopen date, and then through the phases of reopening. And we will have, in the state of Connecticut, we're going to have probably three phases of the reopening of the economy. And so I thought it would be great and appropriate to, on the eve of reopening, to ask our health director, Mark Cooper, to talk through some of those issues for us as our first agenda item today. So Mark, would you handle S1, please?
Thank you, Jen, and good morning, everyone. A couple of things we do look at. One of the parameters is a declining hospitalizations and things. And when we look at the state data coming off the state website, we do check that daily and report not only on what the state's doing, but also locally on the Westport numbers. And there has been a clear decline in the last 14 days, even going back further. But yesterday, we really looked closely at the last 14 days. About an average decrease of about 39 less hospitalizations and people getting treated for severe COVID-19 sort of symptomology. So there is a decline in the number of hospitalizations that's been going on for quite a while at this point. Also, one of the requirements for opening is having adequate testing capabilities. And early on, we were providing some of that testing ourselves, and that was very limited, but then we made sure there was local options here. And right now there is a lot of options in the region, and there is a site here for Westport, and particularly up on Long Lots Road, and that site is very underutilized at the moment. So there's lots of capability or capacity available right now, not only in Westport but regionally, and we have a lot of those testing sites on our website. So anybody who is interested in a complete list of testing sites can go to wwhd.org, and we have a link to all of the available testing sites that we have vetted to know that they're operational and people can go there. So there is adequate testing for people to be tested when they need to be. In terms of contact tracing, that's one of the other parameters for, you know, gating criteria for opening, really set by the federal government as well. And we've always been doing a contact tracing. Initially, part of what we thought might have been something like a foodborne outbreak, which quickly became a COVID-19 outbreak. So we're doing contact tracing now, and always have been, and preparing for what might come our way. We've got 36 MRC volunteers signed up to help us out. We have 11 nurses, some of those with the school system. We've got a couple of doctors in the area willing to help out. So we believe we can actually do the contact tracing necessary for the level of COVID-19 we're seeing locally in Westport and Weston. And should we find that it exceeds our capacity, we actually can go to the state of Connecticut and ask for their assistance. But we'd rather do it ourselves locally, knowing that the job that we do and the familiarity we have with the communities that we serve. So we certainly think there's ample capacity to do contact tracing, and we'll continue to do that. And if we need help, we know where we can get it. One of the other things that the people need to know is about sufficient PPE in terms of how can they provide their staff and others with protection as they reopen up. And there is, in fact, a complete guide of available places you can buy PPE on the Connecticut Department of Economic Development and Community Development, that the CDEC site has a complete list of all of those places people can buy. Now, it's incumbent upon each opening facility to make sure they provide themselves with the PPE they may need. So as part of that self-certification process, I think that's one of the questions people need to answer. Have you purchased? Do you have the PPE you need? And that's upon themselves to determine, number one, how much they need and whether they can get it or not. So when we look at all these criteria, and knowing that this, the governor's office is really looking at the proper gating criteria on a state and regional level, the governor's moving toward opening, and we would agree based on what we're seeing that we can move slowly in a very systematic way to reopen things, continually reevaluating all of this data to make sure that we don't have a resurgence. So we think we're in pretty good shape to start a very slow, systematic opening. Does that answer the question, Jen?
Yes, thank you, Mark. I'm happy to take some questions from the team, but I do think that was an important piece to start with today, an important piece of information. And so people also know that we are watching those metrics and those indicators as well, both at the state level and the local level too, as we move through the phases of reopening. Does anybody from the team just have any questions for Mark on this one? Randy.
Yes, and actually I was going to address some of these in my comments, but a couple that are pertinent, Mark, that you just said. One of the things that's come up is a question about if we can provide some kind of testing facilitation for retail workers. One of the biggest concerns, part of it is being able to capacity. That sounds like the Longmont location might have it. The second thing is cost. Is there a cost associated with that? And is there any way to support that cost for individuals? You're on mute, Mark.
Thank you. When we tried to set it up ourselves with Murphy Medical, again, they were billing insurance companies. I do know there is a cost, and the more you talk to the governor's office, these tests are supposed to be low cost or insurance paid for. We're not set up to provide widespread community testing. That would involve staff and supplies. Actually, supplies we were trying to get, we still can't get a sufficient supply of. So I don't know what the opening facilities, how much it would cost them. Clearly, I would suggest calling the St. V site and ask them those questions, and you may be able to work out some arrangements where, for volume-wise, they're looking for people to stop up. You might be able to cut some kind of deal with them.
Great. Super. There are a couple of specific questions I'll ask in my comments, but Mark, one thing that has come up in each call is that there's a lot of numbers on how many people have contracted or been in the hospital, but there's very little data on how many people have recovered. And I wonder if that data is available anywhere.
We can certainly look around for it. I mean, we do know the number of new cases we get every day, which has been very, very low. And the state keeps a running number of all those who the cases that come from Westport, if you will. But cases go on that list, and it doesn't look like the state's taking those cases off. But obviously, after being treated and over a certain amount of time, if you've had COVID-19, you recover. So there's a metric there between death rates, if you will, the number of deaths and the number of cases. So I don't know the number of active cases today, but I think we could probably find that out.
But that would be great. I mean, that, just in terms of insurance for people, that is a question that it gets raised each time.
Okay.
I have some other things, Jen, that I can cover in my section.
Okay, great. All right, anybody else have anything for Mark on this first agenda item before we move on? Okay, great. So seeing none, we'll move on to agenda item number two. I'm going to give a little bit of overview of the process that we follow to solicit feedback from local business segments and the tools that our liaisons have delivered and are going to deliver to assist our local businesses in their reopening efforts. And the reason I wanted to focus on this for just a few minutes before I ask Brian and Matthew and Randy to take a deeper dive. We continue to get a whole lot of questions through the Reopen team email about the role of this team. And so if I ask my team members to indulge me again, because I think we've talked about this in the first two meetings, but maybe it's worth reiterating for the public again, this team was not set up to be a regulatory body. We're not making regulatory decisions. It was never our intent to design a whole new level of rules and guidelines. Nor were we set up to move at a largely different pace of reopening than the rest of Connecticut. So this team is taking their cue very much from a timing standpoint and from a focus on business segments standpoint from the governor and from the state of Connecticut, and will continue to do so largely. And like I said, the work we're doing is not to set a whole new level of rules and guidelines that sit somehow in between, the business owner and the state. Really, what we have been doing is soliciting feedback from our business owners on, where they are confused when it comes to what they're hearing between either rules, guidelines, communications from the state. Where are they confused? Where are they having trouble implementing or executing those guidelines on the ground in their businesses as they think about reopening? And so that really has been the work that we have done. And when we first met 2 weeks ago, we weren't really sure what that process was going to look like. So just as a recap for the public, I can tell you the process was, we have identified liaisons within our team that are associated with each business segment that is on the reopening list for the governor, okay? And so the first three that were up, we won't talk about the fourth because it's not opening tomorrow, but the first three that were up were offices, retailers, and restaurants. And so our liaisons went out to that business community, and they did it in a variety of ways, individual emails, individual phone calls, email blasts, group emails, group Zoom calls, whatever way they could to reach our local business owners in those segments and solicit feedback from them on just these issues, really trying to identify that inevitable gap between communication from the state and figuring out how to execute it on the ground as a local business owner. And through that process, all three of those business segments have amassed lots and lots of feedback. And what I think all Brian, Randy, and Matthew will talk you through is that the ultimate tool that we've sort of designed to help our local businesses is an FAQ document per business segment. And I would imagine that to be the case going forward. And the other thing I think we all hope we can do, and we haven't figured out exactly the format to do it, is to also highlight some best practices within the business community from fellow business owners. So I think that's still a to-do, but today, as of today, we have absolutely designed and a number of FAQ documents for those three business segments. And so, really what we're trying to do is facilitate a gradual, safe, helpful reopening for our local business owners. And in doing that, we're hoping that we build confidence. We build confidence from our local business owners that they can indeed open safely and have employees back in their premises and have the employees be safe. And we're trying to build confidence among our community that you can indeed come out and support your local businesses. And so confidence is a big piece here, being gradual, being safe, being smart, and making sure people have the resources they need to do this properly. So that's what this team is doing. And that's the process currently we've followed. Again, since we are taking our cues from the governor and his strategy on segment reopening, what that ultimately inevitably means within this team is that some people are super busy for a period of time and others are less so. And then it'll swap once a whole new round of segments are determined to be reopening. There will be a whole new group of liaisons and team members that will be frantically busy, and others who will be less so. But that's kind of the pace of the work right now. So with that, before I move off of agenda item number two, does anybody have any questions on that? Okay. From a standpoint of, I think, you know, now we have a bit of a process and we have a bit of an idea of, you know, sort of what the ultimate tools are going to be that we can deliver to really help our business community go forward. So with that, I'm going to move on to agenda item number three, which is I'm going to ask Brian, Matthew, and Randy separately to update us on, at a high level, some of the things that, so the rest of us can be prepared, some of the issues and concerns that the business segments that they've been working with have highlighted, and a general update as we look to reopen those segments tomorrow morning on the 20th of May. Brian, I think I'm going to start with you, if that's okay, working with the office segment.
Okay, I'm up to about 45, or I haven't counted them, between 45 and 50 personal phone calls with contacts that people have provided with me. That's clearly not enough. We have many, many more than 45 to 50 offices, tenants' offices, single building, occupants and what have you. And so if any of your neighbors or your tenants or you think need to, join the list, please give us a call or go to the website and we'll add them all to the list. The more the better. Very similar from last week, Jen, in terms of the what's happening in offices. The big theme in offices is people working remotely. I mean, if there's one theme that goes to the office segment, I think different than restaurants and gyms and other things, is that people have already adapted, quite frankly, to a new way of working and a new culture of working with the threat of a pandemic around us. So that is nothing remarkable about that. It's pretty obvious, but people, I think, are up and running their businesses fairly efficiently, I would say. A couple of questions that have come up. The protocols for materials and packages in the mailroom, particularly lawyers, insurance folks, people who get documents through the mail, are asking questions as to what do we do in the mailroom. There is no protocol yet, right, Mark, yet come from the state on that. I hope it comes soon. But basically what lawyers and insurance companies are doing is they're keeping the mailroom open. A person will go in once a day and scan and distribute the information to the right folks, a legal officer, it might be contracts. Same with insurance folks and investment folks too. But I don't know if there are any protocols for that. I haven't found any. Second one, and you mentioned it, is shortage of cleaning materials and materials to comply, basically. The list that I saw today that the state sent around is very long, but it's actually, when I read it this morning, it's very easy to read. There's a phone number, a contact number there. They've made it, I think, extremely easy. So you basically look through this list of about 200. Apologies for so many. But if you look at them, you'll find someone local probably in there that you can telephone. And if that's not sufficient, that would be great too. You mentioned the frequently asked questions. I think, we will add to those. Most of the questions are very simple, and that's what you expect. You expect simple questions. The answers are primarily found in the state-published documents, which we want to use as our template because we don't want to have any different directions than anybody else. We don't want to make up the rules. because they seem all very sound and logical. The only problem with it is there are many of them, and there are pages and pages in some segments of rules, which does make it a bit daunting, but it's only a bit daunting. I don't think it's a major barrier. It's just you've just got to get your head down, look through them, and typically you'll find what you want. But it is difficult at the beginning. So this week I'm almost to the point of having a large employer in Westport to give us a seminar on what they have done. They're very sophisticated folks, and they've done some really good stuff. I actually would suggest. And I'll publicize, the Zoom meeting, folks from other segments to listen to them, because it's not so much necessarily what they've done; it's the technique and the structure of the way they go about addressing this issue that is kind of very impressive. I should have that within the next 10 days, and I'll have to talk to you, Jen, about how to run a mass Zoom meeting. But we'll do that. We will do that. So that's all about best practices and learning. I'll leave it at that, and stay tuned. It should be an exciting next 10 days.
Eric, couldn't get myself off mute. Thank you, Brian. Yes, indeed, it should be an exciting next 10 days. Does anybody have any questions for Brian, just very specifically in the office segment, before we move on? And I'm going to ask Matthew to be next on deck. Okay. And just to reiterate what Brian said, so his FAQ for the office segment is essentially done and formatted, town seal on the top and everything else. And we will be distributing those, and I'll say this again towards the end, but we will absolutely, the liaisons will be distributing their completed FAQs through the channels by which they've been communicating with the business owners, but also we will have all of that up on our town website. So under our COVID-19 area, so businesses who somehow were not able to connect with directly or communicate with directly, this will all be stored on our town website along with the taped meetings that we're hosting right now, and along with some other information as we think it's important to make sure people have access to it. All right. With that, Matthew, you want to fill us in on the restaurant?
Restaurants, they are raring to go. And I held a Zoom meeting last Friday and had 36 restaurants on the line. We had a P&Z Fire Marshal Mark was on as well, talking about what needed to be done. And so we started the process, and Daniel Dobin was on as well, talking about P&Z. And we had restaurants start to email Mary concepts as of yesterday. 20 concepts had come in. Mary said, we don't have the application, and I'll get to that in a second. But it shows enthusiasm for moving forward. And I think that's good. There may be a little too much enthusiasm, to be honest, because a lot of them are like, I'm opening up on Wednesday, and don't shoot the messenger. I kind of went back to them and said, no, you have to have approvals to do this. And part of what happened on Friday was we didn't have all the answers, and it wasn't until late Friday that Ira, the town attorney, came in and said, yes, even if you have a pre-existing outdoor patio approval, you still must have an approval moving under COVID. And also then Mark came back Saturday morning, which shows our staff and people who are working for the town are working through the weekend. Came back and said, no, we don't need tents, we don't need covering. So that freed up some of the other stuff. So we know that staff is still working on the application process and then the procedure for doing that. Is there frustration now out there? Yes. A lot of people are saying, what's the delay? And my answer is, there is no delay. And First Selectman Marpey came out yesterday in Westport Now saying it's going to take some time. We're working on it. And people say, well, what's going on? I said, well, look at it from this perspective. May 20th was a date that was thrown out in the future by the state and the governor 3-4 weeks ago. But didn't have any paperwork or any protocol or any procedures for us. We only got them on Wednesday, and now we're working through it. And so there's no delay. It's we are absorbing what we've got, and we want to do it right. And that's what I've been trying to tell people. We don't want to trip over ourselves. We don't want to make a mistake. Westport has already been in the news a couple times during this, and we want to do it right. It's important. My greatest fear is that some people are going to open tomorrow, and that would be against the approvals, or would we call it illegal? I don't know if we'll say it's illegal or not, but I worry about any future consequence of doing that, and I'm urging everybody to take a slow and steady process here and follow the procedures. And as you said, we are not the regulators. This task force, and I don't consider, I'm not a regulator. I'm not an enforcer. I'm just sort of telling people what I think is the right way to do it, is to follow what the town is trying to work on. I'm hearing that we will have an application and a procedure done by this morning or today, and then I will get it out to the restaurants. I already have another Zoom set up for Thursday at 9:30, and I'm already getting a bunch of signups. These restaurants are totally engaged in this. They do want to know what's going on, and there are some who are strictly following this, and then there are others who are, you know, taking it on their own. And hopefully we'll bring them all into the same fold. What are some of the problems that we're having at the moment? There are no freestanding hand sanitation machines or whatnot. So that is one of the requirements, and that's an issue. This morning I was on a Zoom call at 9 at the state level informing restaurants on what they have to do. And self-certification, 1,300 restaurants have self-certified already in the state. So I'm assuming that a large batch of them are ours. So that's something that's mandatory. And they said that on the thing. This is mandatory, folks. You must do this in order to put the sign up and show that you're doing the right thing. And that goes back to what you were saying, Jen, is it engenders confidence. And ultimately, this is about confidence. If the patrons don't feel comfortable going there, then they're not going to go there. So we need to build everything that we can to make it work right and do this nice and slowly in procedures. We don't want an inundation of people and then they have them frustrated or not work out. So we're moving forward. So ultimately what we're waiting for now is this application and then the procedure to do this. Those that have pre-existing patios, I think, will probably be a snap to approve just those areas. Example is Rizzuto's. Rizzuto's put in two plans. One, we have an outdoor area already pre-approved. Here's our new measurements for it. Basically, they just have to put up a sanitation stand for the hand washing and a way to go to the bathroom and back out, and that could be approved. And Labor Day week, Memorial Day weekend is starting Friday, and a lot of them really want to be open by then. Those that need outside areas, sidewalks, parking lots, possibly town roads, that's a process that, you know, will then involve the selectman's office and you guys making a decision on closing of roads and use of sidewalks, because that's under your jurisdiction. And that's got to be part of the procedure. And then a timeline has to be built. But that's where we are at the moment. I think we've got a cohesive group for the most part. That is, they're listening, they're paying attention, they want to do it, they're moving forward. They may grumble. You know, it's been a long haul for them, and it's money. And I've sort of been saying, it's like, okay, you know, May 20 was a date. It was a date. It isn't drop dead date. It's a date. If it's Thursday, Friday, if you get it by Saturday, you know, long haul, we're good. So that's my spiel.
Fabulous. A few comments. So, Matthew, I do have something that came through to my email a couple hours ago. I think that is the planning and zoning process. So we need to hook up on that right
now. I was looking at my emails. I was hoping I'd see it, but I didn't see anything from anybody. So send it on, please.
Definitely. So I think they're pretty close to ready. Mary couldn't be here to talk about it this morning. She had a previous engagement, But I think you're right. It's pretty ready to go. So I think that you'll be able to communicate back with restaurant owners very, very quickly on that. And the restaurants are a little bit complicated because under normal circumstances, there's a process that they need to follow for a variety of permits. And then you add COVID on top of it, right? So there's a lot of stuff going on that you're trying to help them work through. You know, I think that you, along with P&Z and our fire marshal, have been, you know, really fabulous to try and get this moving as smoothly as possible and at a pace that we hope we can support them quickly, but with the right process. So no, thank you very much.
Last piece is sort of like the closing of roads. You know, that might be something we want to proactively look at. There's Jim. So there's what you got, Jim?
Yeah, so I'll have Jim answer that one.
Well, a couple of comments. First of all, going back to enforcement, one of the things I got worried about was what happens tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon or whatever, and we have a restaurant open. It hasn't been approved. Shortly after this meeting, Chief Costinas, myself, Mary Young, we'll be meeting with Ira Bloom and Nick Bamonte and Jen Tooker to talk about enforcement. What will we do to make sure that we keep people from not doing the right thing? So without heavy-handed, I mean that's the balance we're trying to strike here. We're not interested in arresting people, but we are interested in making sure that people reopen in a way that makes them successful and our community successful. So on top of that, just to understand how we can go about enforcement, we had a similar conversation with regard to the beaches and the parks last week that Jen and Cody and I participated with Ira and Nick, and I think the outcome of that was very helpful in terms of, you know, what tools do we have in our toolbox, short of leading somebody out of a place in handcuffs, that can be put in place. So, and part of this is just the hope that our restaurateurs, our retailers, whomever, want to be successful with this as well, so that they understand we're not here trying to be heavy-handed in enforcement. At the same time, there are a set of rules, and if we don't go with them, we risk taking many steps backward. To your point, being in the media is sometimes fun, but not so much around COVID, so we don't want to do that. Secondly, in terms of the Board of Selectmen, acting as the traffic authority, we are prepared to move as quickly as we can. We will do a public hearing with 24 hours notice to approve whether it's retailers or whether it's restaurants, want to have road closures or sidewalk closures. They have to come to us. We're not going to sit here and think about what roads should be closed. We want to hear from the restaurateurs. We want to hear from the DMA, the Chamber of Commerce, whoever. But you need to, in a sense, apply to us. But we'll process that as quickly as we possibly can in terms of a public hearing, so that everybody has a chance to weigh in about whether or not they think closing a particular road is a good idea. We'll try to expedite that, and then we'll do it as quickly as we can from a legal public hearing standpoint.
Great. So did that answer some questions, Matthew, a little bit, or I guess even for the public listening as well? Jim's right. We are, the Board of Selectmen, we're completely committed to facilitating a fast process, but we need a proposal to respond to. And so that is part of the process, and we want to make sure we also keep it a public process as well. So anything else for Matthew on restaurants before we move to Randy on retailers? Okay, so Randy, do you want to talk us through what's on retailers' minds and how many?
Sure. And let me touch first on what Jim just spoke to, because this was on my agenda. A question that we actually had is what would be the literally the formal process today? We know what it was when we're trying to close for festivals to recommend closures. As we've sort of looked at and thinking about it from a full town standpoint, clearly in downtown Westport, there are two specific locations, Main Street and Church Lane, that we think we would recommend closures on, not necessarily all day closures, but that's something that we wanted to discern a little further and come back to you with a recommendation. For instance, for Church Lane, it may make more sense to make that an afternoon evening because we have restaurants there as well. Main Street, maybe we close half and half or something like that. That's something we're sort of huddling about right now. And we if it's just a matter of saying, here's our proposal and submit it to you, then that's great. Because that is definitely, you know, from what I'll talk about in a minute, a very strong interest from all of our constituents to have that available to them. So that's really, really good news. Just from a broad standpoint, so we have been direct conversation with 137 retailers now across the town. We have had about, as of this morning, 63 people complete our survey. I shared that with Jen, and actually, Jen, it's been updated a little bit further. And the real highlights to that is that I would say in this category, I would say you think retails or restaurants are complex, even more complex retail, a lot more things to touch and a lot more moving parts. But there's a very, very high level of commitment to doing the right things. And we've had over 60 people participate in our two Zoom calls so far. We're going to offer another one. We're going to wait till after Wednesday just to get some more sharing. I would say the Zoom calls have been about 20 minutes reviewing information and 40 minutes of sharing and discussing. And we've had a really good representation of both chains and independents in our calls. Our FAQ document is something that we have assembled. Again, I've had the assistance of Jackie Bedgood and Rebecca Mace from my DMA team have been awesome. But that is really assembled with information that we have vetted on the federal and state level, but most importantly on the local level to make sure that we're following guidelines. And we have a number of links in there, and we've updated that literally every couple hours. And we are sending out regular emails to everybody when we have a significant update to share on that. And we've used that our time a little bit to review that as well. The best practice sharing is the one really key thing that we're going to try to foster going forward. We did get some sharing already from Terrain in our first call, some of their experiences. Number one, that they've been busy, been doing, in fact, interesting fact, they're the number three store in the world for urban right now in terms of volume. So I guess, I don't know how many are open, but that is a number. But so we're going to continue to do that because as a lot of people are making their plans, it's going to be important. Right now, I would tell you a very, very large number of our independent stores will be opening on Wednesday. And that's again, making sure that they are prepared. There are a few that won't be only because they know that there are guidelines they need to follow. The chain stores in general are not going to be opening at that point. The earliest dates we're hearing from companies like Gap Inc. and Williams-Sonoma is it's likely going to be June 1st or after. However, that many of them are going to be doing curbside sooner than that, likely, and some of them are already doing that to a certain extent. Some smaller chains, Nick and Zoe, Savannah B, et cetera, are also opening tomorrow. And that is a big question on everybody's mind because, of course, particular chains are being asked, what are the neighborhoods looking like you're in and how many are going to be open? And so this information we're going to be posting several places. The Westport Marketplace site, when it launches, will include this information as well as the DMA site. And Jennifer, that's probably appropriate in terms of the places to have it. I'm not sure if the town wants to include that, but we'll have it in other places. One other thing that we've also done from the DMA standpoint, we have worked with the library and we are actually bought their curbside bags for them, and we're going to include a QR code and a link to opening information on those bags. So they will have those when they start doing curbside in the middle of June. Couple things to call out that generally at stores are definitely already on board and doing. The floor marking, contact tracing is something many of them already have a plan to do in the store. employee testing and also temperature taking and things like that. All that is sort of considered happening, and we'll be going forward. There are a couple questions, and Mark, these are things that I'll raise right now. Some of them you may have to answer afterwards. The plexiglass for cashiers, that's a question whether it is a absolute rule and requirement. In certain stores, that's going to be quite difficult just by size and even logistics. So that's something we want real clarity on. If it is an absolute rule, then they'll have to accommodate. But that's one question.
I'll have to check. The CDC has some office guidelines in how to set things up and move things around. I haven't read that it's required, but I'd have to go over it more carefully because, as you know, there's lots of rules and you can get lost in them. So I'll have to check.
That would be great, Mark. I mean, right now everybody knows about the separation and everything else, but that's just one specific rule, particularly for smaller stores. The other question is whether plastic shields are acceptable versus masks. I don't know if we, and again, I couldn't find any information on that.
When you say a plastic shield, you mean the face?
The plastic face shields that have the headbands.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Those are acceptable.
Rather than the plexiglass, you're saying?
Well, no, plastic shields just for individual face covering versus a face mask.
We've been asked that question before. So, no, a mask is a mask. You have to have that mask on.
Okay, that's good to know. Okay, the next one was the greeter rule. So, and I'll talk more in a second. So for larger stores, they're all planning to have a greeter, but smaller stores are wondering whether a greeter is required. But we didn't read anywhere that it is, Mark. So that's. We've already covered the testing for retail workers. We'll look into that. Another question that has come up is a spacing requirement. So we have sort of there are guidelines that say you should have 50% capacity. That also is hard to measure. There are different store sizes. There didn't appear to anybody hard and fast rule on how many. How they gauge what their proper number of people inside, other than best judgment.
Yeah, that might need more building code. Building codes have requirements for spatial distances of occupant loading, I guess would be the right terminology.
Right.
We'll have to check with the building.
Okay, that's perfect. Question that has come up, and this is sort of related to what we've talked about with the street closure. There is a big reticence in having outdoor shopping at this stage, just because of the potential issue with people touching clothing, etc. We've gone through a lot of discussion on returns and try-ons and all that kind of stuff. But I think people are very, very clear on what the rules are there, and we posted those very clearly, so everybody's very comfortable with those. But a very good idea has come up is that people may consider doing an outdoor table for a greeter concierge for their store. So it may be even something where the proprietor may start outside and see if that's acceptable. And the question is, are there any permitting required for that if they just have a table outside to greet people?
Not from public health. I don't know about zoning.
Yeah. I didn't think there was. Jim and Jen, I don't think there is any particular requirement on that. Okay, that's good news.
Randy, just on the police on that side, because it comes across, they obviously can't block sidewalks.
Right.
Depending on what we're doing, we do have to stay uniform in that and clearing and leaving adequate roadway. And I know downtown with the construction, some areas may be more of a problem than others. We will certainly help along the way. We won't stop them, but we may have to make some adjustments to avoid people walking in the roadway.
That's great, Fodi. And actually, what we were thinking is literally something close, just far enough out that someone could stand behind it or sit behind it by the front door. But that's, again, we'll make sure that we're coordinating that with you. Okay. Let me see what else I have to say. That was most of the big items. Like I said, we're gonna stay in contact, probably do another Zoom call at the end of this week. A couple other just general things to let people know. Just to make sure everything is ready downtown. We have a full weeding program underway. Our beautiful new baskets are getting put up on Friday. And we are also exploring doing signage downtown and on Post Road welcoming people back to shop. And one question we had was, should that be extended anywhere else, any other shopping districts in town? Because, again, our retailers have expressed some interest. I'm not even sure we're set up to do that outside of downtown, but that's been expressed.
I'm not sure. Are you looking? I'm not sure how to answer that one.
Yeah, it's banners. Spaces, and could they put banners like we do downtown? I don't think we're set up anywhere else in town to do that, other than downtown and any other shopping districts is the only issue. Yeah, and obviously shopping centers, private shopping centers, can do that on their own as well. So
right.
Okay. All right. That's pretty much what I have, Jen.
Okay. Thanks, Randy. Does anybody have any questions for Randy on the retailers? Okay. You know, I think I guess really...
It's funny. Sorry. Just because of retailers, I know it wasn't on the agenda as far as our car dealerships and things like that, but in a sense, I think it falls under that, and I just wanted to give you guys a heads up. Our new car dealerships and even used car, most of them have stayed in business and operating throughout this whole process, under the exceptions of being a garage and repair shops. Their service stations have certainly been open. I probably should have worked a little closer with Brian, because a lot of the office rules apply the same way as far as when they start letting people in and what staff is working. Believe it or not, a lot of our dealerships have had very good months considering what's been going on, even with new cars, and they've been usually selling by appointment only. A lot of the things going in place after tomorrow are that they will be allowing only a certain amount of people inside their stores. They won't be doing test drives with other people. If it's somebody they recognize and they have a valid license, they're going to be letting people take test drives by themselves. So our car dealerships, in a sense, retail, however we want to word it, are operational, and they've stayed operational through this whole time. Same with the one body shop that we had open. They weren't considered non-essential, and they kept working through, but practicing safe distancing and keeping people in different areas. So all that has been operational all along, and they're following a lot of the same things as far as the office space. So that's good news that they've been working all along and actually selling new cars and used cars. So that's what I had to report on my end. I can certainly, as we move forward, I'll keep up with them, but I can possibly help Jen with the gyms, because today we had two phone calls here that I was going to pass over, and we're getting phone calls about outside working out, you know, outdoor dining. Can the gyms do stuff to start, you know, thinking about having outdoor working out? So Jen and I can certainly touch base. I know that's not on the agenda for today, but that's the next thing coming up, and I'll keep up with my dealerships if things change or any of the governor comes up with anything new. That's all I had. Thank you.
Bodie, thank you. I knew that you had been in touch with the dealerships, and so I thank you very much for that work. But even more so, thank you for your offer to help Jen, because in fairness, and Jen and I talked about this yesterday, you know, the reopen team email has quite a number of requests from our local fitness business segment, if you will. They have lots of questions. They're ready to get some answers. And so I think that's going to be quite a Herculean task. I think it's going to be quite a complicated segment to work with for all sorts of, you know, reasons that we all can imagine. So we'll need to put our heads together on that. And so we will be pivoting to, you know, those business segments that are slated to open in June. We'll be pivoting to those very quickly now. Thank you. All right. So I guess at this point, you know, really what I wanted to do today was exactly this. I wanted Mark to be able to have some time to talk about some of the metrics and the indicators that we're looking at as we reopen the state and the town on a slow, gradual, safe basis. And, you know, I think that we wanted to share with the team the process that we put together to outreach to our local business owners via segment, and then to collect their feedback, and then to be able to deliver back some sort of FAQ document. Like I said, Brian's is completely done. Randy's and Matthew's for those two segments are absolutely pretty much done. They're just a constant work in progress. because as recently as late last night, you know, the state put out, as Mark and Cooper indicated, you know, they put out a guide that included 200 names of companies that you could call to, you know, to procure PPE or cleaning supplies from. So this is just a constant, or maybe it was Brian who mentioned that. Excuse me. So this is a constant work in progress. So keeping up with it is challenging, but I want to say a huge, huge, huge thank you to Brian and Matthew and Randy and Jackie Bidgood and Rebecca Mace as well from the DMA, Mark Cooper. You know, there have been just a number of things going on in the last 5-6 days that have really been hard to keep up with. And a huge thank you to all of you, and to Donna, who continues to try and get us as a, you know, email list that we need, and documents drafted and things uploaded, and so to the website. And so just a huge thank you. And you know, Jen and Bodie and John, and you know, we're all, Sarah, we're, you know, the next round is I think upon us. And so, you know, and I know there's, you know, John, I know you're dealing with a number of interesting and difficult communications from the state when it comes to summer school. And so, you know, we really, I know you're in the thick of it. All of us are in the thick of it. Jen's been in the thick of it with reopening each parking lots and Longshore this weekend. So it's this is quite challenging times. So thank you very much to all of you. And we will, I think, you know, I think that a lot of the sort of detailed work happens in between these meetings. We're just trying to give overviews of these meetings. I'm trying to keep them under an hour. I learned my lesson last time, so we're now at 50 minutes. And I want to make sure that I keep these under an hour, but keep, you know, each other informed of what's going on, and keep the public informed of, you know, how we're working through these issues. So... with that, does anybody else have anything to say before we conclude? And I would look for, you know, sometime for the beginning of next week to come together again in a meeting like this, and probably be talking about kind of the phase two business segments and our approach to getting those up and running.
Yeah, and I'd just like to add my thanks to everybody on this team for your dedication. You are all very busy people. I know that very well. And I thank you for your contributions to trying to get some orderly form, safe and healthy way of getting back to some kind of normalcy that we recognize. So thank you so much. It was exciting for me to sit here and hear how much knowledge we've pulled together. What we receive, unfortunately, from the state sometimes is hard to comprehend, or mixed messages or whatever, but we're sorting through that, understanding it, and for the residents of Westport and the employers of Westport who might be listening, I beg your indulgence and patience. We're trying to make everything happen as quickly as it can, but again, as safely as it can, so that we go forward in a way that we don't have to go back. So thank you again, everybody, for your participation.
Great. Thanks, everybody. With that, we're adjourned, and we'll do this again early next week. Thank you.